This episode is brought to you by Cowgirl Creamery, makers of some of the best organic cheeses. Learn more at cowgirlcreamery.com.
Have you ever wanted to open a restaurant, launch your own food brand, or dive into the ever-changing world of food media? Well, buckle up. Join us for Aspiration to Action, a special live podcast on Monday, June 3rd at Haven's Kitchen in Manhattan. Zara Tangora and Bretton Scott, hosts of Life's a Banquet, will lead us through tales of the good, the bad, and the transformative. Featuring food world innovators and HRN hosts, Dana Cowan, host of Speaking Broadly, Eli Sussman, host of The Line, along with his brother Max, and Allison Kane, host of In the Sauce, in conversation with Jenny Britton Bauer. Light refreshments will be provided by Paris Gourmet, Wolfer Estate Vineyard, and Tahani. Get your tickets before they sell out by going to heritageradionetwork.org/action.
Welcome to the Grape Nation, your weekly wine journey. Our guests are Roberto Santana and Alfonso Torrente of Envenante. We'll talk to Roberto and Alfonso about wine, the Canary Islands, Ribera Sacra, other regions, Envenante, and a lot more. We'll taste an Envenante. I don't know what's in front of me for our weekly wine sip. I'm your host, Sam Van Ruby. Stay with us for the Grape Nation on the Heritage Radio Network. We bring wine to the people. Roberto Santana and Alfonso Torrente are two of the four winemaker owners that make up Envenante, a wine project that focuses on exploring distinctive parcels, mainly in the Atlantic inflected regions of Ribera Sacra and the Canary Islands in Spain. Along with Laura Ramos and Jose Martinez, they are the new Spanish wine, but with a touch of the old practices. Welcome, Roberto and Alfonso.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sitting with me. I want everyone to know, and I want to thank Liz from Jose Pastor, that it is Memorial Day weekend, and Jose and Roberto and Alfonso are on the tail end of a pretty busy U.S. tour or market tour or whatever, and we're sitting in downtown Manhattan. And I appreciate you guys taking the time out of a busy schedule. I think you have something really going on, and it'll be nice to discuss with people. So let's give people an idea of who you are and what Envenante is. You guys met in college. And let me preface this. Like I said earlier, there's four Envenates. I'm with Roberto and Alfonso. Laura and Jose are, you know, back in Spain. But the four of you met in college. Tell me how you guys met, and obviously something drew you together.
Yeah, so it was the fortune, because we met in the college studying from enology, and we came from different areas. Alfonso from Galicia, Laura from Murcia, Jose from Albacete, and me from Canary Islands. We came from study different careers. For example, Laura and me, we are chemists. Jose and Alfonso, they are engineering of agriculture. So we have something that the same thing that is that we have passion for the wine. So for that reason, we have the choice to choose study enology in Elche, in the University of Elche. So we met there from different places. So we finished in the college in 2005, and then we start to be friends and keep being friends. And the most important thing for us is that we start learning and have the sensibility of about the wine at the same, we learn with the same philosophy. So right. that philosophy keep us together like a friend, and in 2008 we had the choice to buy a small plot in Ribera Sacra. So when we had to buy the small plot, we decided to create the Vinate company.
So what was the inspiration to start the company? I mean, you, land became available, or you looked to buy some property in Ribera, but the four of you decided that you wanted to become winemakers, or...
We were after we finished the enology, we were working as winemaker in different cellars. In some cellars we have we were very lucky because we worked together, for example, Alfonso and me, and Jose and Laura. So we were keeping, and always we were connected. So in 2008, one old grower, he was very tired, almost dying, and we had the choice to buy a vineyard in Ribera Sacra. So we went, Alfonso showed to us that vineyard, and we start to work it. So we, unfortunately, we are not rich people, so we start from that small vineyard, and then we start to consulting another projects, and that for us was very important because we have learned a lot and have an open mind, but always we started with the same philosophy that we think that is the most important thing.
So, Alfonso, was it you that convinced them to buy land in the Ribera Sacra? I mean, your first property was in Ribera, right?
Yes, we Alfonso always told us about the Ribera Sacra. So when we first visit Ribera Sacra, if anyone have the choice to go, it's spectacular, it's an amazing place. When we first see the vines, the other three of Vinate, we say like, wow, what's going on here? So we say, we have to go there. So Alfonso, for us was a pleasure and was great.
Did you know what you wanted to do? What kind of grapes? What region? I mean, Ribera was your first entree. Did you guys have any kind of plan at that point, or you just really, you started with the property, you were consulting, and everything evolved after that, or you always had an idea?
We always have the idea that is make something with the same, a thing with the philosophy that we have, that is when we start, and now we have the same philosophy, that this is how we learn to understand a wine. That we think that a wine must to be made from the vineyard,
right,
not in the cellar. So when we learned about how to make a wine, we think that a wine must to have three important things. The first things, one thing, is the personality. The personality is given by the soil. Different terroir, different personality. For that reason, we think it's very important to understand the soil, study the soil, and more important, to have a live soil, not a dead soil. For that reason, we don't work with herbicides.
So that points towards organics?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
The second important thing for us, for our philosophy, is that a wine must to have character. Different year, we have warm year, dry year, cool year. So it's the character of the wine. If every year we make the wine with the same character, we are making like some commercial cola products.
Right.
I want to say the brand. So that is not our way.
The opposite.
And the third important thing is the soul of the wine. And the soul is given by the people that is working in the vineyard. It's not the same work with machines that a person that is working every day, that a person that have been working 20 years in the vineyard and is connected to the soil and with the vine. And that thing, the soul, is the most important thing right now for us. Each year we learned a lot more about the soul of the people that is working. That is but we have the same philosophy, but we have more value of the soul than the other thing. We think that the most important thing is make wine with soul. So that's what we wanted to make. For sure, now we're thinking, we have another view because we have learning, and now we think we make less mistakes than at the beginning. We start making a lot of mistakes, but we think this is our way of life, and we is how we think, and we have the same philosophy. No, Alfonso?
So if you fast forward, you purchase your first property in the Ribera. Today, you own and contract more property, right?
For sure, yes.
So what I want to ask you is, the four of you are from different areas, different growing regions, and I know the four are one. So what I want you each work in separate growing areas. Tell me how Envenate, the four, how you work together. How does that become one?
First important thing is that we are friends. And it's a
still
it's, yes
okay
it's very difficult be friend with a person as ugly as Alfonso, but
yes that's why I'm staring at you.
So we don't think this is a work, it's a job, it's a part of our life. So we think that we have to learning, and what we do is to share our knowledge, and we are keep traveling because we think it's important that we are in all the place. For sure, I live my home is in Canary Islands, so I'm more in Canary Islands. Alfonso have his family house in Galicia, they travel more, but we are in all the place. So what we are doing now is traveling a lot to all the place to learn and have a lot of knowledge and learn about from the old growers that show to us how to interpret the terroir of the vineyard. So what we just do is just keep in contact, and all the decision is made by all the four.
Right. So even though,
and today is very important, is easy with the with the phone, by the mail. It's very easy to be the four of us in contact at the same time. It's not like 20 years ago.
But the interesting thing is, if you're in France or Italy, you could bop around, drive over the hills. I mean, you're on an island. I mean, you have to get on and off the island. Does that present obstacles for you, or that's just part of the deal?
No, it's just take an airplane.
Today. You do?
Yes. We have been traveling in California right now. We were to Santa Barbara, San Diego, Portland by airplane, and today is very easy to be connected, fortunately. Yes.
Okay. I want you to help me visualize the regions that you are making wine. And I think now it's four regions. I know it's the Canary Islands. I know it's Ribera. I know it's Almanza.
Yes.
And is there a fourth region now you're making wine, or it's part of that area?
No, we are right now working. We prefer to say work vineyards than making wines, because we think that we are growers, not yes. So we have vineyards in Galicia, okay. The Lousas project in Ribera Sacra, in Almanza, that is near in the east side of Spain, near Valencia, Alicante, because Almanza.
How far is that from Ribera? Just to give people an idea.
Oof, Alfonso, how far is Almanza from Ribera Sacra?
900 kilometers.
Oh, it's far. Okay.
Far, yeah.
Okay.
So it's far, and in Canary Islands we work with vineyards in Tenerife Island in three different areas: Taganana, Orotava Valley, and Santiago del Teide.
So I want to get into that a little. So let's start with Canary. So on the Canary Islands, let's just talk about the regions, a little about climate, soil, altitude, grape variety. So let's move Canary to Ribera to Almanza. So the Canary is very unique because it's an island. Talk to me about a little about the climate there. There's some altitude, the soil. There's some very, very old vines. Yes. Tell me what makes it very interesting to you.
Okay, as well as... I say we say before that for us it's very important knowing the terroir, the weather, and the people that were there. Also, we're trying to understand the history. So we think that it's very important to understand the history of Canary Islands, to understand what's going on with the vineyards. We never had phylloxera in Canary Islands.
Ever?
Never had phylloxera. So
what is that? Is that the climate prevents that from happening?
Phylloxera used to be an insect that used to move to spread, and in volcanic soils it's very difficult to spread, and
right.
Also it's an island, so that two conditions make us that we never had phylloxera. So the vineyards that we have are like 500 years ago. So Canary Islands were conquered in the 15th century, and the conquest lasted almost 100 years. And the conquest was by Spanish people that were helped by Portuguese. So when the conquest finished in the 1498, the Spanish gave to the Portuguese some pieces of land. So we have Spanish influence and Portuguese influence. So depending in what area are you in Canary Islands, you have a Spanish influence or Portuguese influence.
Both.
So, yes.
Depending.
Both, depending
right.
in the area, and then you have that very big difference about the Spanish and Portuguese influence. Also, in Canary Islands, we are in a subtropical area, but we have the influence of the Alisios winds. The Alisios winds came from the north of the north area, from the north. So when came the Alisios winds, made the clouds stuck in the north area of the islands. So the north area is like more Atlantic. And we have a lot Teide, that is the volcano, is over 3,000.
Teide is the name of the volcano, T-E-I-D-E?
Yes,
Teide.
Yes. It's okay. Higher than Etna from Sicily.
Is
it's
it?
Higher.
Okay.
So we have a very steep steep island. So for that reason, the north area of the island is like more Atlantic and the south is more drier. So we have a different kind of climates.
Is the north cooler because of those effects?
Rainy.
Rainy.
More than cooler,
okay.
Yes, we can say more.
And humidity too.
Humidity.
More humidity.
Yes, I would think so. All right, tell me a little about Ribera. Talk to me about, you know.
From Ribera Sacra?
Yeah. Climate, soil.
Now, Ribera Sacra, they are like, they are in terrace. We have the Seal River that separate in the both side of the river. And the soil that we have there are three different kinds of soils. We have a gneiss, a granite, and broken slate. That's the three different soils that we have there. The vineyards that we work are mainly in gneiss, and also we have some vineyards with granite and other with a broken slate. But in our case, we work mostly with gneiss soils.
How about in Almanza?
In Almanza?
Almanza is a Mediterranean climate. Of course, but depending on the place.
It's the most Mediterranean climate of all the areas,
yes.
Almanza?
Yes.
Because south?
Yes.
Okay.
It's southeast of Spain, and the Mediterranean climate is a Mediterranean climate. It's warm place, but depending on the altitude of the vineyards, we have more cold or more warm place. And there we work in different soils. We have chalky and clay for Garnacha Tintorera variety, and chalky and sandy for Moravia Agria. Moravia Agria is a variety very interesting for us, but now in Spain and in all the world, it's only 40 hectares, more or less. And we have four because it's a variety that in the past, in the 80s, the Italian people, French people, and Spanish people too, buy grapes and wine there only for alcohol and for color, and this variety, Moravia Agria, when it's ripe, have a low color and low alcohol and very high acidity. Not this good business for the farmers, and it's in this moment that the people took out. Okay, but for us it's very interesting because it's very freshness and it's very interesting for our wine in workplace, have this variety, it's fresh.
So you're working with a diversity of soils, you're working with a diversity of climates.
Yes. And in Canary Islands, for sure, it's volcanic soils.
Yeah.
Kind of volcanic soil,
volcanic to granite to chalk, you know.
No, in Canary, mainly volcanic. But
yeah, no, but I'm saying when you go to Ribera,
overall.
But you're also, you're working with grape varietals, and you mentioned a few, Alfonso, already, that people never heard of.
Yes.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, if you stop people in the street on West Broadway and we start talking about, you know, some of the varietals, I would guess a lot of them are indigenous to the area and grow well in those climates and those soils. Tell me, When you went into each of these properties, how familiar were you with the grapes? Is it something, is it a process you had to learn to understand how to farm them best? Did you rely on the people that were there, how to vinify them? I mean, what was the process then?
Normally, when we go to a place, we think that if a variety, a grape, have been for centuries, it's because it's well adapted. So the work is very easy in the vineyard. The problem is that, for example, if you go to Canary Island and you want to plant Cabernet Sauvignon or Chardonnay, that will be very hard for us. So that is what we are trying to do. Go to place that touch our heart and see that have a great potential and see the and with local varieties, adapted varieties, because we think that the variety, when it's adapted, can tell you the soil. It's a translator from the soil. So that's what we're trying to do. We want to express the personality that is from the soil. So when you work with varieties that are well adapted, that is what you just have to do. And then listen to the growers that have been working there for long, long time. And then you understand a lot of things, because what we have learned and we are learning is not the same growing in Galicia or in Almansa, in all the places. All the places are totally different and they work in different way for some reason.
Right.
This is not a factory. It's like you have to understand the weather, the soil, and the vineyard. And then what we do in the cellar is to interpret what we have learned. So for us, our philosophy is that we have to interpret with sensibility and with respect what we have seen in the vineyard. For that reason, for us it's very important being the vineyard the most time as possible to be connected with the vineyard.
It's funny, up until now you've talked about, you know, the vineyards and everything comes from there. You talk very little about winemaking, and that points to how important, you know, the growing the grape and taking care of the earth and all of that is. I mean, the winemaking, we'll talk about that in a minute. You know, obviously you can figure that out. But tell me this. I mean, I guess you could say you were responsible for pioneering, you know, the Canary Islands to some extent, bringing a spotlight to Ribera. You stepped into a lot of older, forgotten vineyards, right? I mean, wasn't there an effort on your part to bring some of these vineyards back? I mean, you said the grapes were hardy and they've been there for 100 years, but does that mean, you know, right away you could pick the next season and make wine? Did you have to go in and do much to some of the vineyards?
Yes, we for us it's a process that we are still making. Our first vineyard that we have was in 2008, but our first wine that we make as Envinate label was in 2012.
So you waited until everything was right?
Yes, because we took some vineyards that they were worked with herbicide or with chemistry, and we have to balance that. And for us, the Envinate project is something that we believe is our soul is in the wine.
Right.
So we want to put something that we really believe. For sure, we make mistakes, but it's not something that we don't believe always.
Because some people, if you go to the Canary Islands, they refer to it as Jurassic Park. It's so wild and crazy out there. Yes. I mean, I'm guessing it takes a few years to tame that and bring it back. Like you said, your original vineyard, you didn't really put a label to the wine for 4 years, so that happened in other vineyards?
Yes, it's happening in most of the vineyards that we have worked, that needs time to understand and then to interpret it like we want to like what we wanted to interpret it, to see that is in the wine.
Right.
So when we see when we are sure that the wine is what we want to interpret it, is when we start to bottle as Envinate, and it takes time. We have to be connected with the vines, with the soil,
right,
and with the thing.
And it's important here that in Canary Island have cultivation system that they never see, and in the university never talk about these cultivation systems. And it's very important to understand this cultivation system, talk with the old growers, because, for example, Brady system is a system, culture system, unique in the world.
Right.
And it's very difficult for us to interpret this, but now,
right,
step by step, we...
But
we,
being on the ground and working it, you yes. figure it out and all of that.
We never have seen that in the books before, so for us was new.
Right, that was sort of my question. I mean, you're walking into varietals and regions that you're... I think the passion and the interest is there to solve it. Otherwise, you would have packed your bag, you know, 5 years ago.
So for us, it's very important to talk with the old people that have been working there, because that is our knowledge, and we have to get value about that.
What effect does the Atlantic Ocean have on the wines? Is it just mostly the Canary Island wines, or is the Atlantic an important effect on all the wines that you make?
For sure in Albahara, no, because it's in the Mediterranean Sea.
Okay.
And we put Mediterranean wine. And Galicia is affected. We feel the feeling of the Atlantic. And in Canary Islands, for sure, it's in the middle of the Atlantic. And we have the influence of the Alisos winds that make that this more an Atlantic climate, more than subtropical.
Right. All right, we talked about grape, soil, climate. We talked about all the work in the field. Tell me a little about philosophy and practice in the wine cellar. My guess is you're as rigid in the cellar as you are out in the field, but what are some of the things that are necessary for you to do to make the wines that you want to make?
For sure, in the wine cellar, we are very focused in interpret the soil and don't put chemistry, of course, don't put commercial yeast, and for us it's very important to transmit the soil of the climate, the place in our wines. It's for this, Roberto told before, that it's very important for us, the personality, the character, and the soul in the vineyard. It's, we try put these three things in the bottle, and in, yeah, and in the winery we try. For us, it's very important the moment of the harvest. Of course, always we decide this moment. Walk in the vineyards, taste the grapes, taste the things of the grapes, and decide how interpreted this moment in the winery.
Right.
In this moment, this is when we decide if we work with a old bunch, no old bunch, more stems, these stems, and after.
So let's talk about that. Talk to me about specifics. You handpick, you crush, foot. What kind of barrels? You know what. Do you want to add, don't want to add? You know, tell me a little about...
We think our philosophy of winemaking is that it's like we are painting a picture. So for us, it's very important when you paint a landscape to be in the landscape, to see the place. So for us, as Alfonso say, when we make the harvest, the decision is in the terroir. We taste the grape, and when we taste the grape, we try to feel how interpret that terroir. So in the cellar, what we are trying to do is to interpret with respect and with sensibility the terroir. So we have different tools, but never adding external things, because we think that if we work with chemistry or with commercial yeast, it's makeup, and we don't want wines with makeup. We want wines that show by themselves. So for example, we work we don't use sulfur, because we think that we can handle in the cellar the wines without sulfur, with the natural carbonic and with the lees. So in the cellar we don't use sulfur. Before bottling we add a little sulfur, because we want to make guarantee that the wines travel.
That's more to protect the wine.
Yes, and maybe if you open the bottle in the 20 years, we want to be kept the precision of the terroir. For that reason we are adding sulfur. Maybe in the future we don't add, but right now we don't know. We want to be sure.
So no sulfur, no chemicals?
No chemical, for
no
sure.
No chemicals.
For that reason, it's very important to have a good grape, because the problem is when you don't work in the vineyard and you have a grape that is not good, it's not balanced, and you need to add a lot of makeup to get balance. That is for that we say the vineyard, and we repeat this a lot because we think we are producer of good grape, and we just want to interpret that.
How do you determine if you want to do whole cluster or destemmed? You don't have a philosophy where it's all whole cluster or not. I mean, it varies, right?
We don't have a recipe, but it's true that when we have soils that are more complex, soil and the roots we think are deeper, we used to work more with a higher temperature and longer maceration because that gives to us more silky tannins and can translate the terroir. When we have, for example, soils that have more clay and the roots are not very deep, we work there not with longer maceration and cool fermentation because that gives for us rustic tannins, more or less. But this is not only allowed, it's not allowed, it's more or less if you make an idea. And if it's a warm year, cool year, it depends, the depending. But normally, if we have, we always trying to get the terroir as possible, so we always work with a high temperature, not cooling. The right. Whites, we don't cool because we want to be the terroir more than the flavor of the variety.
So it's about transmitting the terroir.
Yes.
And that determines, there's no house style or style or process. It depends on the vintage, the temperature, the soil.
It's like a good chef. He go to the market, yeah. He see the fish, and decide how it's going
different
to
stuff in the fall than in the yeah. summer.
The problem is when
that's
you have
that's a good way to put it.
When you have a bad fish and you add a lot of sausage to make up, that's the problem.
So I've had a bunch of your wines, and they have a brightness. They have an elegance. One of the things that impresses me is there's a clarity. And is that a reflection? I think I know the answer, but I want to hear from all those characteristics are a reflection of the terruño, the terroir, not the winemaking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to accomplish all of that, it's a transmission of the grape in the field, true?
Yes. It's the truth. Yeah.
Not a manipulation or anything.
No, for sure. That's what we try. It's our philosophy.
Yeah.
That is the transmission of the grape. It has to be connected with the soil and the terroir.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about some of the specific wines, and there's a lot of them. I want to subject you guys to our wine list, and we're going to taste a little wine. We're talking to Alfonso Torrente and Roberto Santana from Envinate. You're listening to The Grape Nation. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Cowgirl Creamery, makers of some of the best organic cheeses. Founded by Sue Conley and Peggy Smith, Cowgirl Creamery has been awarded countless times for their products ranging from aged cheeses like Mount Tam, Red Hawk, and Wagon Wheel, to fresh cheeses like Fromage Blanc and Clabbered Cottage Cheese. For more information, head to cowgirlcreamery.com.
I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and you know Heritage Radio Network has thousands more. Hi, my name is Linda Pelagio, and I'm the host on A Taste of the Past here on HRN. Join us on a weekly journey through culinary history, where we explore the when, where, what, and why of food throughout history. You can find A Taste of the Past wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Okay, we're back. We're back with my guests, Roberto and Alfonso from Envinate. Let's talk about Envinate wines. There's like 20 of them. How many different wines do you make?
No, now we have 12 different labels.
12 different labels?
Of all the places. Okay. Three places. But we bottle for one wine club in United States, Viticol Club, for okay. Brian McClinton. We bottling a little bit labels.
So Brian is a master sommelier. Yes. He has a company now called Viticol.
Yes.
And what is it, like a wine club or a curated selection of wines?
Yes.
And you provide some wines for him.
We better say his selection of terroir, because he came with us, we see the vineyards, and then we select the terroirs and we bottle for him the terroirs before we blend for another wines that we make.
So Alfonso, the 12 labels.
12 labels and 2 labels more only for Jose Pastor selections. It's a project without sulfur.
Right.
One wine from Riviera Sacra and one wine from Tenerife, from Canary Island. The Chingao project is 2 labels without sulfur. Okay.
Okay. No sulfur?
No sulfur.
No sulfur. Not no sulfur. Even for bottling for shipment.
No, we call that Chingao.
That's Chingao?
The Chingao project. Sans
sulfre, yes. Chingao.
No sulfito okay. way.
It's a project because. Roberto told before, we don't put sulfur in the winery, only before bottling. And when Jose Pastor all the years traveled to Spain for taste the wines in barrels, in concrete tanks, sometimes he feel in good way 2 terroirs or 1 terroir and say, is possible putting bottles without sulfur? And for us, it's a tool for learning about this. It's very, very excited for us,
yeah,
this project.
It is, and I think a lot of people will pick up on that. Is it fair to say the majority of the wines come from the Canary Islands and Ribera Sacra?
No. The
amount of bottles?
No, because in Almansa, that is our project is
right.
in Albajara, we think it's an exceptional terroir, because for working there, the land is very easy. We have good condition, and they are the plots are very big. For if you make an idea, Ribera Sacra and in Canary Islands, we are working between 0.2 hectares or 0.4 acres to 1 acre. In Almansa, our plots are of 10 acres to 20 acres. And we can
so you have a larger, you could have
yes,
more
yes.
production there.
Yes, so the third percent of our production came from Almansa Bar. And we think it's a great value, because you can have a great quality of grape with
a little,
not working like we work in the other
right.
places.
Right, a little easier, more hectares, good
yes,
quality
yes.
and all of that stuff. Do you have your eye towards any other areas or regions? I mean, are you always looking, or your hands are full now?
My mother say don't make your burst bigger than your ass.
Okay.
So right now we control, we work 42 hectares, and we think that we are very happy because we can handle that vineyards, and we think that if we grow more, we cannot handle that vineyard. So for us, it's very important to work in the vineyards, to be connected with the vineyards that we work. So for that reason, right now we don't. It's true that maybe if we see something because we have
right.
passion, we go there. Maybe the next year we can tell you. It's true that we're making some small project, but it's with our friend Jose Maria Vicente from Casa Castillo in Jumilla. That is where we started learning in the first cellar that we worked. And we are making just a few bottles, but that's for have fun, and that's the only one that different.
But maybe in the future, if we see one vineyard, one place, that when we see, we say, wow, maybe we will begin with this, but not this in our minds now.
So never say never.
No, never say.
But your hands are full now.
Yeah.
And it's important that you have control of the quality and, you know, the people that you're working with. That's important. Unfortunately, and I don't like to bring up the negatives, but the wines sometimes are hard to find because of the limited production and how important it is for you to make, you know, the best wines. But in New York, bigger cities, San Francisco, you can get it in restaurants. You still see it in finer wine stores. Has the production grown through the years?
No, production is going to be, it depends the vintage, so we have maybe a little more, a little less.
It depends on the vintage. And your growth spike has happened already. You know, your acquisition is there, so you're working with what you have.
Now we are very focused in invest all the years in buy a little bit land.
Right, okay. Right. All right, we have a thing called the wine list. And I want to dig into your preferences. I want to ask each of you the same question and give me your best answer. And don't overthink it. It's five questions. They're very simple. And the first question is, what are you drinking now? And it's not coffee or this bottle we're going to taste. It's what are you trying? What's happening this season that you want to try? Is there something that's been interesting you? You know, have you delved into a particular wine?
Right now, we are in the United States. We are drinking wines from the United States.
Okay.
Because we're here, right
so
now.
So when in Rome. So
yes.
So wait, did you say whites from the United States?
Wines.
Okay.
No, but...
Anything particular? I know you were out in California. You were in Santa Barbara, obviously. You were drinking Pinots.
Yes. For us, it's very important that the wine reflects the personality. So we drink wines that reflect that. Unfortunately, right now you can find these wines in all the places of the world.
Right.
For sure, we can say to you like classic producers like Bernardot, Rayas that we like, but there are a lot of exciting things. And in California, that we have we were there last week, we see amazing projects.
Right.
That are unbelievable. Yes.
How about you?
No, for example, yesterday we drank a very good bottle for Pierre Bernard.
Okay.
We love Pierre Bernard, but we try in all the moments drink new producers, new things.
So you're always interested in trying new
because
things.
Because it's very important for us to learn about the other people, the old producers.
Yeah. All right, good answers. This is probably the silliest question of the batch, but we ask everybody if they have a favorite wine and food pairing. Is there a wine and food pairing that you like, that you have more than once, that goes so well? I'm not asking you to tell me what a good pairing is. I'm asking you, what do you like? What do you like?
Good company with good wines.
So that's good.
A good bottle of Auvergne.
That's good.
With good friends.
Okay.
That's a good pairing.
Can you give me a food answer?
Yeah, this is the most important thing.
What?
The wine is for...
Shared, for sure.
Share,
okay.
Share. The problem is that we love food, and we like the food, and we like the wine, so...
So as long as you have good wine, good company, and good food, that in itself is a good pairing.
Yes.
I'll take that.
It depends. If you are watching a basketball game with your friends, or you are in the sea with your wife, there are moments, so...
Right. All right. I don't know how to ask you this, and you tell me how to answer, but we ask everyone their favorite wine restaurant and or bar. And you guys are based in Spain. You were in California. You're in New York now. I guess let's stay with Spain. If people have the good fortune to visit Spain and travel around and make it, you know, up to the Ribera, even come out to the Canary Islands. Give me a couple of great places that do a great job with wine service, food. Anything come to mind? No, it doesn't have to be fancy.
It's with El Cano.
El Cano? That's a restaurant?
El Cano.
El Cano.
El Cano.
Okay.
E-L-K-A-N-O.
Where is that?
In Getaria, in Country Basket.
Okay. Great food, great wine,
yes.
Good wine list.
Yes. Good product, depending on the place, because in Barcelona, it's new wine bar, it's the Gresca, it's very good wine bar now.
Okay.
In Madrid,
Villamás.
Villamás in Parafrugell, in the East Coast, in Girona. And in Madrid, maybe Laredo, so a good place for the wine now.
I think Spain is having more than a moment.
Yes.
With food and restaurants. I mean, go back to Ferry and Adria, but even now. It's
for example, in Galicia, in the coast, now is a very good moment, very young people, very interested in the wines, travel a lot, very good sommeliers. Vagos Vinoteca in Pontevedra, Malauba in Vigo, Berto in Groves.
A lot of great places.
Yeah. And for sure in Josep Roca, in Can Roca,
is the best. You know, that's legendary.
A lot of sensibility of wine, and it's the best wine list you ever have. Yeah.
Do you get a chance to travel around to the big cities, or you get so caught up, you know, in the vineyards and in the cellar and working? I mean, do you go into the cities for business, you know, to talk to accounts or restaurants, or you're so busy?
We used to go to the cities for eating and drinking. So, yes, right. When we have the choice, we go, yes.
Okay. But you are busy, I would
guess. Yes, we're busy, but what we used to, when we have the chance, we used to go to see friends and to see. It's very important that.
All right, next question, second to last. Do you have a favorite all-time wine?
Favorite
wine of all time. Now, the question used to be answered as the most expensive wine somebody had or the rarest vintage. It's changed to an experience. Like, this is the champagne I had when I got engaged, or this is the first Saint Joseph I ever had. What's a wine that's made a real mark on you?
Within Auvernois. Pierre Auvernois, the Pulsar,
okay.
When we have the first time. Rayas.
Yeah. I think that depends on the moment, but a lot of bottles you never forget, because it's a very good moment with friends,
right.
Very good producers, and you remember this. But for sure, we never forget the first bottle of Auvernois we drank in Bonn, in Burgundy, producer for Jura, and for us it's we see the light. But of course, we never.
Henry Jaeger.
We never forget Henry Jaeger. We never forget our first bottle of Rayas. We never forget our first bottle of Musigny from Mounier.
So Burgundy for sure is very memorable.
And Rhone.
And Rhone,
Jura. But.
The Auvernois is impossible to get now. In the United States, it's a very difficult wine. I mean, it was available, I guess, as Burgundy was years ago. You know, now it's so hard to get. All right, last question. This is a hard one, and you guys are winemakers. I ask this to a lot of sommeliers and writers and all of that. I ask people, what do they think the best wine, best value wine, for about $15, $20 U.S. dollars? And I won't keep it there, but here's the context. I have kids in their 20s now, and they're starting to go to dinner parties, and they don't want to bring a crappy bottle of wine for $8, $9, but they can't afford $30, $35. So $15, $20 is a good spot. Now, I'll answer the question first, because you guys have a lot of wines that are incredible value, you know, the quality to value. So I would throw in that if you could find Envinate, that answers the question. But when you think of wines that are good and they're not that costly, what do you think of? Like Muscadet is a good wine that's not. Tell me what comes to mind with you.
No, for example, we get Auvernois 10 years ago for 17 euros.
Yeah, well.
Yes, that's, and I think that right now you can find that maybe in the market, that good value that maybe in 10 years later will be impossible to get.
Yeah, but I think it's harder in the United States than in Europe.
But we don't know about 15-20, but within is not fancy places, and in Spain within is now a very interesting area, because now it's a beautiful moment for Spanish wines, because there are a lot of projects making wine from vineyards, honest wine, and you can find that. And for example, like our importer Jose Pastor, that he works with a small grower that 30 years ago was impossible to find importers that work with small growers, only with big companies. You can have a lot of choice and find good producers and great value that you can find. I think
that's why importers like Jose Pastor are so important. Yes. They'll go and seek out, you know, those type of winemakers and bring the wines, you know, to the U.S. Also, you know, if you follow social media, you see a lot of, at least in New York, a lot of sommeliers visiting Galicia and the Canary Islands. You know, they're very big cheerleaders, and they talk about the wines and they bring them back, which is a nice thing.
Yes.
I think that's important.
We're really happy.
Yes. All right. We have a feature on the show called the Weekly Wine Sip. This is where we taste a little wine. Lucky for me, I get to drink a little Envinate because it's not that easy to find. So tell me what we're tasting.
Okay, Benje is a wine that...
That is B-E-N-J-E?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a native word that means Pico Viejo, and it's a wine from Canary Islands, from Tenerife, from Santiago del Teide. The vineyards are between 1,000 meters to 1,200 meters. Sorry, I don't know in acres, but in...
That's okay.
Acres, but it's very interesting because this is from Santiago del Teide, and here the varietist that we have is Listán Prieto. And Listán Prieto is the first variety that arrived in America in via Mexico. That is the Mission grape.
L-I-S-T-A-N, Listán?
Yeah.
P-R-I-E-T-O? Yes.
Prieto?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Mission grape. O país in Chile.
Ah, okay.
Because when the conquest, when the Spanish came to America, they first stopped in Canary Islands. So they dropped the vines, and we have there a lot of Listán Prieto and Palomino that is called Listán Blanco.
Roberto told before that in Canary Islands we have two different influence, Portuguese influence, Spanish influence. In this place, is the Spanish influence. And
okay.
This we have there. Listán Prieto, Mission Grape, that is from mainland Spain, this variety, and Listán Blanco, that is the same as Palomino, for the south of Spain, okay?
Got it. So this is, you said Teide, this is right...
Santiago del Teide.
Teide, and do you have a winery there? Is that where you...
Our cellar is in Santiago del Teide, in this town.
Right. All right, so let's do an evaluation of this. We're going to do color, nose, mouth, feel, palate. I want your take on everything. So let's start with color. It's kind of a light garnet. Beautiful clarity. Really nice. How would you describe the color?
The color, yes, very light color. But show...
Well, it's light. It's good. You know, it gets deep and rich in the middle, which is nice.
Yes.
Tell me about, I suck at this, and you should be an expert by now. Tell me, what do we get on the nose?
Okay, on the nose, at the first thing, you have that you always see in the wine from Canary Islands is that peppery that came from the volcano soils. In this one, you can see the peppery.
I get peppery.
Black pepper, white pepper, that kind of aromas, but also like... fruit, red fruit.
Yes.
You can see a
red little for
red
sure.
Fruit.
Red. I get a little salinity. You say
yes.
Pepper, salt, and pepper. I get a little of the.
Yeah, but for sure in the Dagenham wines, it's very, very more close that the Atlantic Ocean is more salty than here. But here is a little bit, yes.
All right, now let's do mouthfeel. Let's throw it over the tongue. And what does it feel like? It's a medium light body, right?
Yes, it's medium light body, but it's within that clean you the mouth very, very good. We think this wine is very good for a lot of kind of food that is spicy that you cannot pair with the tannins wines, because this wine clean you the mouth and have the feeling of the fruit with the end of the spicy.
So get specific. What kind of foods would you say? Did you say Italian?
No.
No.
All like
What are good pairings?
Like, for example, Asian food.
Asian?
Asian.
Because of the spice?
Yes. Indian food.
Indian
very good.
Spice.
BBG.
Yes. He's a great chef. There's very good acidity on it. All right, now talk to me about the palate. Does the palate reflect the nose? Are the same red fruits on the palate? And do you get the spice in the palate? How would you describe the palate?
We describe the palate that is at the end always comes again the we call the volcanic terroir, that peppery, but in a way very with the fruit and very soft. I think that what you feel in the nose
is very much in the mouth.
Yes.
There's nothing much different.
Yes, we have to think that our wines in the cellar we don't work with sulfur, and we bottle and we add a little sulfur, but a little, and the wines at the beginning are a little tight, but in the mouth you can feel the freshness, and in the nose sometimes needs a little time because this is 2017, so it's very young. Our wines are making for aging also.
The brightness and the freshness, the clarity is incredible.
Yes. And for us it's very important that when you drink a wine, you always want another glass. I think this wine is like it's not easy wine, but you are very, it's very enjoyable, you know, that you...
And it's about 12% alcohol, so it's very drinkable in that sense. How was this vintage year? Was it an easy vintage?
In this area, was very difficult.
This was a difficult vintage?
Yes, because this area, 2007, Santiago del Teide, is above 1,000 meters altitude, so we are over the clouds.
Okay.
The clouds that came from the Alisos wind are between 700 to 900 meters. So this area is easy working, dry. You don't need to any treatment, but and you always work with a lot of canopy to protect the grapes from the isolation of the sun, because we are in high altitude and the isolation is very high. So in 2017 we have 2 days of warm, of a high temperature that is not usual.
What are we talking, like
30 degrees?
Okay.
In Canary Islands it's not a hot place,
right?
But in 17, in this area, we have was a dry year, and also we have 2 days with a high temperature, so the vine get stressed, get blocked, and we had and lose a lot of canopy. So we have to make a green harvest to try to balance the vineyard, because the vine can handle that. So was a bit, but we are very happy with this with the result. We think it's a wine that for sure is going to last at least 5-10 years, but not like maybe the 18 or 16. That's what we think. Maybe we open this bottle in 20
right.
years. And
I would say if you can get your hands on it, drink it.
Yes.
Drink it now, drink it in a few years. Forget about 8, 10, 12 years. You'll worry about 8, 10, 12 years, 8, 10, 12 years from now. All right, we're going to wrap up. This was the 2017, how do I pronounce,
Benje. Because this is a native language that came from the native people.
Oh, is that?
So it's how they pronunciation. So what's Benje?
So it's Benje, the 2017. It is a tinto. It is a red. And it is one of the wines from the Canary Islands. If people want to know more about Envinate wines, what's the best thing for them to do? Go to the website?
Go to the vineyards.
Go to
the,
okay.
All right. Yes.
That means when they get there, you got to see them. All right. We got to wrap up. Let me do just a little quick wrap up, and we'll be on our way. If you have a question, suggestion, wine happening, or event, hit me up at sam@thegrapenation.com. That's sam@thegrapenation.com. You could follow us on Facebook at The Grape Nation. Follow us on Instagram at SBenRuby and the hashtag The Grape Nation. You can also subscribe to our podcast, The Grape Nation, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Like I said earlier, I'm going to post Roberto and Alfonso's wine list, all your cool choices. And I will put more information up about what we drank for our weekly wine sip on our social media sites, which is mostly Facebook and Instagram. If we want to find out more about the wine on social media, where can we follow? Are you on Instagram? Are you on Facebook? Tell me where.
We are a little disaster in social media.
You are Luddites.
We are
okay.
Disaster, yes. But we try
you know
to
what?
Organize.
Self-admitted. Liz, help me here. You can go to... So neither of you guys have any...
We have Instagram. It's Embinate Wine.
Okay, so there's @ Embinate Wine.
Yes.
That's enough.
The one without Instagram.
Okay, so that's enough. So Envinate @ Envinate, that is on Instagram. And certainly the guys have been traveling, and you've been posting a little. I mean, I've seen a bunch of things,
yes,
as you come across. So if you want to follow Envinate and know more about the guys, follow them on their social media sites. Again, I'll post them. All right, I want to thank our guests, Roberto Santana and Alfonso Torrente of Envinate. Thanks to our engineers at Heritage, and thank you to everyone at the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sam Ben Ruby, and you've been listening to The Grape Nation.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebrations happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter @ @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.